This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. My goodness gracious. The Dow closed 7 minutes ago, up 211 points. I just remember there were people in the media 4 days ago saying that the since we were on the brink of World War III, the markets were about to crash. It is 44 points away, actually more like 43 points away, from 29,000. It is just for people who, which is more, way more than half the country. You got a pension, a 401k, you got anything that's invested in the market. These have been absolutely incredible times, and here 2019 is off to another fantastic start with the Dow. It's
2020.
I didn't say 2000. You know what?
It's hard to get used to it. It's hard.
That's a good catch. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, man. Okay. So, yes, but close to a record. Could hit 29,000 with another little uptick. Okay, so one of my biggest gripes about politics is I don't think anybody in politics has the courage of their convictions. I think they do everything merely for political expediency. Congressman Adam Smith is somebody who has been on this show many, many times, and I always appreciate that. He, every time he's come on, he knows that I'm going to disagree with him.
Yeah.
He's going to passionately disagree with me, mm-hmm. but he's usually interested in coming on and talking about mm-hmm. it, unlike an awful lot of his colleagues.
And I actually asked him to come on today, and he didn't say no. They were just trying to find a time that worked, and I'm not sure.
So there are a few things going on right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But they were trying to work it in.
Yeah.
He's one of those people that'll call if he's on his way somewhere, which I appreciate. He doesn't have to sit down at his desk and carve out an hour.
And so I appreciate that he always comes on,
mm-hmm.
but this to me is reflective of the lack of any compass in and it's not just Adam Smith.
The fact that he's taken back an earlier tweet?
Well, no, it's what he said on CNN. He went on CNN this morning. He went on CNN uh-huh. and they asked him, they said, and I'll play you the audio here. But they said, look, a lot of Democrats are saying it's time to end this whole impeachment thing. It's time for Pelosi to send it over to the Senate. Pelosi's trying to manipulate things first before she sends it over because she doesn't want to send it over and just have it fall flat, which it will eventually, no matter what. But Adam Smith said this on CNN.
Is it time, Chairman?
I think it is. I mean, I understand what the speaker is trying to do. Basically trying to use the leverage of that to work with Democratic and Republican senators to try to get a reasonable trial, a trial that would actually, show evidence, bring out witnesses. But at the end of the day, just like we control it in the House, Mitch McConnell controls it in the Senate. I think it was perfectly advisable for the speaker to try to leverage that to get a better deal. At this point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And yes, I think it is time to send the impeachment to the Senate and let Mitch McConnell be responsible for the fairness of the trial. He ultimately is.
That is unequivocal.
Yes.
It is time to send it to the Senate. The House
sounds
and the
well
Senate
thought out.
Mm-hmm. are separate. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't try to manipulate each other. Mm-hmm. Just like the Senate doesn't have any say over what we do in the House. Mm-hmm. The House doesn't have any say over what they do in the Senate. 1 hour later,
mm-hmm.
Adam Smith, Nancy Pelosi must have called him on the carpet.
I was going to say.
She
know.
Must have just blistered him. And then Adam Smith, who you just heard, tweeted, I misspoke this morning. I do believe we should do everything we can to force the Senate to have a fair trial. If the speaker believes that holding on to the articles for a longer time will help force a fair trial in the Senate, then I wholeheartedly support that decision.
He definitely got a call.
Okay, so he doesn't have the guts to stand for his own convictions and his own beliefs. And to me, that is reflective of character. How could somebody say something so clearly, so unequivocally on CNN and 1 hour later say I misspoke. There's not many misspeaking there.
But do you leave any room, and this is just talking in general, not just Adam Smith, but just in general, if you say something with all conviction and then someone comes back to you and say, well, you know what, you didn't think about this, 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 and this, and by doing this, you're going to have this impact, and this is why you need to say, because you're going to undermine what we're trying to do.
In general, I will open the possibility of that. In this particular case, when he said, we don't have any say over the Senate, Senate doesn't have any say over us, and then he says 180 degrees, and which is... what he said on CNN was accurate. And then here he says, no, we in the House should manipulate how it's going to go in the Senate. No, that's not somebody who has gotten information and changed his mind. It's somebody who just didn't have the guts. And apparently, as long as he's been in Congress, he apparently didn't have the political will, the courage, whatever it is, to just say what he believes and mean what he says. And then he has to send out a tweet. And somebody else pointed out, James Taranto, who's a great columnist, in Adam Smith's tweet, he said, if the speaker believes that blah, 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 then I wholeheartedly support. Anytime you use the words if and wholeheartedly together, Now, then again, that's just an example of you're just using words when they don't ever make any sense. Yeah, here's what Taranto wrote. Pro tip. If you mean to convey sincerity, don't use if and wholeheartedly in the same sentence, which is a great point.
And if you like your scenario, Ursula, I think you come back and you say, after further review, I've changed my thought.
And maybe that's what he should have said.
I misspoke. Misspoke is you accidentally said something
and
that you didn't mean.
His answer on CNN was definitely
it was
well
clear.
Thought out.
It was very clear. Okay, next up in the Fast 15. No matter what you think of Nancy Pelosi politically, she's a 49ers fan. And that should impact how you view the totality of her.
Are you going to the Niners game? It would be my intention to go. I went to the one game in San Francisco. We watched all together the second game in Seattle. I have, unfortunately, responsibilities to save our country from peril so this weekend. So I have
delusions of grandeur there. She's going to save the country.
On my Democratic, wearing that hat of political leader this weekend. So my family will enjoy our season tickets at the 49er game. And then next week, well, get one game at a time. And then we'll see about the next
San Francisco.
You know,
What team did you actually expect her to support?
I think she thinks they're playing Seattle.
Yeah, the most evil team. That's the one. The 49ers.
What district does she represent?
The most evil.
She thinks they're playing the Niners. Doesn't that come off as she named the two Seattle teams?
By the way,
Seattle games, and then said, but I can't be there this weekend.
But
she
said,
clarify.
She said if they move on, she's going to be there. If the Niners win on Saturday and the Seahawks win in Green Bay, I will be at that NFC Championship game in Santa Clara a week from Sunday. Would you see if I can get an interview with Nancy while I'm there?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll both be in the stadium. I'll finish the pregame show. I'll grab my tape recorder.
Yeah, we're just going
to... Do we still use tape recorders in the news gathering biz?
No.
They're recorders, though.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Tape.
Anytime I try to... I used to tote around.
I know. I love tape recorders. I still love tape recorders.
And actually, we just use our phones now.
So much easier.
Yes.
It's
like, and less chance for failure. It's like something to go wrong.
The day I got my internship for the Everett radio station when I was 17, I didn't have a tape recorder. So I had to run to Radio Shack on Market Street in Ballard. And I bought a little cassette recorder and... like a $2 plastic microphone.
Uh-huh.
And that night, I was at the Mariners Red Sox game interviewing Jim Rice and Carl Yastrzemski in the Red Sox locker room doing post game interviews with my $8 Radio Shack setup.
That is too cute.
I used that for about 3 years.
Seriously?
Yeah.
But you know what? You get used to something. I get it.
Yeah. And then feeding audio is so...
so much easier.
Yeah, no, a telephone. People are...
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you about the olden days. So I became the Seattle...
The brick.
Yeah, when I was 18 or 19, I was the Seattle sports stringer for NBC Sports, UPI Radio, and Mutual Broadcasting. So anytime they wanted sound from a ball game in Seattle, I would provide it. And I'd get like $20, $15, $20. But if all three of them hired me, I could get $50 or $60, which is ridiculous. And then you go home and you would unscrew the mouthpiece on the telephone receiver. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
And then you'd plug in the cassette recorder using a pair of alligator clips to these two prongs that were underneath the mouthpiece and the telephone. I feel like I'm talking about something 60 years ago. You know why? Because I am.
He's 30.
Yeah. Man, well, that was 40, almost exactly 40 years ago. Wow. Okay, what are we doing? Okay, onward. In the fastest 15, a judge in Kentucky, Don Gentry, has been suspended after allegedly trying to leverage an attorney who was appearing in her courtroom into a threesome.
During the court proceeding?
Well, she says that she asked a lot of questions about the man. She says that, I don't know if it was in chambers or during the court proceeding, but I'm wondering what kind of a smooth Lothario is this lawyer guy that he's so alluring that the judge would think, I would like to bed him with my other partner here. And, but the reason that crossed my mind
is... How did this even make it?
The reason that's crossed my mind is because when I was a younger man... Anytime I would approach a woman, she would suggest that I have a onesome. I'm just trying to figure out these guys who people want threesomes with them, for crying out loud.
A judge of all people.
Know it. Pound that gavel.
Well, she also...
I don't even know what that meant. I have no clue. What? I honestly have no idea what that meant. Forgive me. Okay.
Wow, boy. Let's go back to weren't we going to talk about Macy's closing?
Next up in the fastest 15, Macy's. Yes, in fact, some in our state. I heard Walla Walla and some other. All these anchors to downtown retail cores. Macy's is now closing 24 more stores. I wish, because I had thought about this about 10 years ago. Because I missed out on Amazon as an investment. But about 10 years ago, if you had shorted all of the stocks of the major retailers that are now disappearing, I saw that Pier 1 is closing 300 stores.
So many.
Macy's is closing 24 stores now. And the place where it's sad is when you go to those, it towns like Walla Walla, where it's just the anchor of their little downtown. And they don't know how to replace all that space, all that square footage. And so this is another example of how retail... I'll tell you one thing I saw, though. On Channel 4, a couple nights ago, I wish I remember who the reporter was, because she did a really nice job. Up in Cedro Woolley, they had a little shuttered bowling alley that had been closed for, it sounded like, decades. And some woman who owns a little coffee bean company up there, she wanted a place to put another one of her coffee stands, and she was looking around. She sees the shuttered bowling alley, and she said, "Well, I'd like to fire this sucker back up." And so they and it's just this classic. I think it was built in the 1940s. They said it was just this classic, you know, little. I don't know. It looked like it was about 8 or 10 lanes, and they've refurbished it all. And it must be costing a fortune. And they asked her, "Do you bowl?" And she said, "Nope, never bowled in my life before this." But it's just
bowling
really
alleys
cool.
Are so hard to find anymore, and they are so much fun still.
I know Dave Wyman and I get out a couple times a year, and here's the problem with the bowling alleys. If I can go off on yet another tangent here, because I don't. Do you ever go to those the fancy ones with the flashing lights and loud music?
Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strike.
That's an example.
Spin Alley.
Yeah.
Spin Alley's not that fancy. I mean, it's still kind of old-fashioned.
But I'm talking about the ones where it's super expensive and they sell expensive drinks.
Yeah.
And it's not...
It's for a different demographic.
There's no purist experience at all. But all the places... Because there were... there are dozens of bowling alleys.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's a purist thing. It's just, it's evolved into that. And it's sad, I agree, but
bowling,
it's evolved
shouldn't
into.
Evolve. Bowling should still be about the bowling, not about the ambiance.
Yeah, but you can say that with any sport, right? Like, football used to be, you know, all Lambeau-style fields, and everything was simple, and it was about the game. And now
Lambeau's
it's crazy
still,
stadiums like we have.
But Lambeau's still hailed as the cathedral of football. That's what they call it. I'm just saying
they're all evolved. Yeah. All the sports have
it's just
done that.
The kind of bowling experience you're talking about is unaffordable for many people. And then... Yeah, it's just it's a different kind of thing. You can't bowl a bunch of games.
But the only place that has retained all of the character and charm, as far as I'm aware around here, is Kenmore Lane.
Yeah,
Kenmore Lane.
That is old school.
They've got these on the wall. They have giant, like 4 foot diameter beer bottle caps, and that's their designs on the wall. And they've got, you know, what can only be described as a dive bar there.
Uh huh.
And it's wonderful. I love everything about it.
Do they still have carpet in the dining room or area or the bar area? That's the one that I grew up going to.
Yes.
In Ferndale, it had carpet and smelled terrible.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and they send their audio off cassette recorders using alligator clips. It's the best.
You better let them know if they're ever going to have to close or anything, you'll buy. You should do it. That should be your retirement project.
Me buy Kenmore
Years Lane. Away.
Yeah, I don't want to operate a bowling alley.
Why? You just get to hang out at a bowling alley all day.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, those are salt-of-the-earth people, too.
Yes.
The people who patronize the old-school bowling alleys are salt-of-the-earth.
You can hire people to do the stuff you don't want to do.
I know. I would take out all the electronic pin setters, and I'd go back to the original days of bowling where, you know how they used set pins? You aware of this?
People
back there.
Yeah, they had guys hanging by their knees... dangling down from a bar.
I'm not sure I'd go for that one.
I'm serious. That's how they did it. Guys hung by their knees upside down from a bar, and they would set with their hands the pins in place. That's what my bowling alley's going to do. I'm going to go back to that.
Okay. Are you sure? Is that like from the Flintstones?
Look it up. Okay, I was just going to toss to break.
Upside
Look it
down.
Up right now. Look it up right now before I go to break. I just want to pin... Original pin setters. Just try that. Jeez, this is horrible radio.
I know. What are we doing?
I don't know.
None of this was on your list.
Pound that gavel. What did you find, Nicole?
It says young boys stayed up till midnight to set the pins. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say they hung upside down.
Yes, they did. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. That is
I
your
always
bestest.
Trust you.
50. Sean!
Sean!
That is.
Fell asleep back there.
Your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Yeah, I'd just like to apologize right now. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk about this new poll that says most people in our state do not want toll roads. This is the best news I've heard in that arena for a long time. Give you the details with Maria Frost from Washington Policy next. Well, I've told you that one of the great fights of my professional life is going to be stopping the state, with you, your help, of course, stopping the state of Washington from turning every single road into a toll road. So this is something we've been telling you for 20 years now. The 20-year plan is close to coming to fruition if we don't check them, and that is to make a mileage tax, but... the goal is to get a transponder in every car and turn every single road into a variable toll road. So you might pay $20 to get into Seattle in morning rush hour. You might pay 25 cents to take your kid to elementary school. But now it looks like a majority of Washingtonians are starting to coalesce against this madness, which is a good thing. Maria Frost is at the Washington Policy Center, and she joins us. Maria, always great to talk with you. Thanks for coming on with me.
Thanks for having me, Dory.
So we have a brand new Crosscut Elway poll that is out this afternoon. And one of the questions that jumped out at me was what I was just talking about, this state roads tax, a mileage tax. 32% of those polled support it. 55% oppose it. What do you make of these numbers as you see it?
Well, I think it's really interesting, the wording of the question. It pertains to what people would think if the state replaced some or all of the state gasoline tax with a fee based on miles you drive, and you get that massive opposition of 55%. But imagine people's reaction if they were asked if they would support a new mileage tax that would go into a general transportation fund. So would not be a replacement to the gas tax, but would be an entirely new way of funding transportation that gives lawmakers the freedom to fund whatever they want without having to worry about, you know, that money being protected for roads alone, which is what the road usage charge in Washington state will be. It is not a user fee.
Right.
It will, there will be a big battle around whether or not the money should go to roads or whether it should be allowed to go to transit. And if it goes to transit, I can bet you if people were asked that question in this survey, that opposition would be a lot higher.
Yeah. For those of us whose lives are, you know, by necessity, I have to drive. I don't have the option. I don't have the time to take mass transit, and I have too many things going on in life to make that my primary mode. And yeah, if they were honest about that and told everybody who's sitting in a car right now listening to you and me talk that they are going to tax them, and then our increasingly radical to the left legislature would have control of that money, and they could funnel the driver's money to their pet transportation projects. I mean, we're already seeing in Seattle where a criminal probe has been launched into all the transportation misdeeds. So I think you make a great point there.
Well, and the Puget Sound Regional Council has been very open about the fact that they would like to see 70% of future revenue that they project for the year 2050 and all of their plans to come from the road usage charge, and for the great majority of revenue to go towards public transit. And Washington Policy Center actually released a survey or a poll of our own in December of 500 Washington voters. The Elway poll was a little bit less. It was 400 polled. We pulled 500, and we got 65% people opposing replacing the state gas tax with a paper mile tax. So this is not a popular idea. I think people are catching on to what this will likely be in Washington state, given our political climate, and are becoming educated, as they should be.
But they should also know, everybody who's listening should know, they're not going to replace the gas tax. This would be in addition to the gas tax, because there are so many current projects that are bonded against the gas tax, and they're going to use that as a reason why they must keep the gas tax in place while they, you know, they will say, and we will eventually transition to the roads tax and reduce the gas tax, but I don't trust politicians when they say they're going to reduce the tax in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think our state has a great history of keeping promises to the public. We saw that with tolls on 405, where we were told one thing. We were made promises. We agreed to pay a higher gas tax. And the lanes that we were promised were slapped with tolls. Have those tolls gone away, even though those lanes are not performing? They're failing? No, they're permanent. And so, you know, I think there's something to be said about that. Absolutely.
Well, and I want to get back to something else I said in my intro to you, because my sources, again, going back 20 years when I had some really good moles in that Puget Sound Regional Council, they've told me consistently that once they get the transponders in our cars, without question, they are going to turn every road into variable pricing by mile, which is toll roads. And like I said, could be 20, 30 bucks to go into the city, could be 50 cents to go to your grocery store. You study this every day. I'm confident of my sources, but I'd love to know if you can support what I've been hearing.
I think there's a good possibility that that could happen. I mean, if a public agency or official doesn't overtly say, this cannot happen, or we do not want this, if they leave it kind of open and say this is a possibility or an alternative, generally speaking, I think that means that they do want it. As if it's on the table, then that means that they're considering it. And I have not seen any public agency reject the idea of charging different rates based on whether or not you're driving during peak hours.
Sure.
And we've seen the city of Seattle come out with their congestion pricing plan. Uber came out with a congestion pricing plan. There is a big move right now to tax people out of their cars or onto a different mode of travel. I don't think that's an effective strategy because people, despite all the billions spent on transit, despite all the efforts to artificially restrict our roadways, people are still choosing to sit in 2 hours of traffic to get to work because that is the preferable mode.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, they have decided to demonize, and you are right, they will use taxation to try to change and engineer our behavior. And for a lot of us, that doesn't work. One other thing in this poll, Maria, while I have you on, 976 voters passed it rather overwhelmingly, even outside of Seattle. King County, outside of Seattle, passed 976. And I want to just talk about this on just a personal level. One of my daughters, in her 20s, her car tabs need to be renewed in December. She asked me, Dad, what should I do? And now for a second cycle of people, the car tab notices are going out in January. And, something that people voted for, government has still manipulated to tax people on a phantom value of their vehicles, $200, $400, $800. What are you hearing about the future of 976 and all these court challenges?
I don't know the outcome of the court challenge. What I do know is that regardless of the outcome, even if the initiative is struck down on a technicality in court, I think the legislature would be wise to listen to the public and implement the will of the voters as the legislature did after the passage of Initiative 695. Now, the Policy Center, we put out a citizen's guide. We were neutral on the initiative. We wanted people to have objective information at their disposal so that they could make their own choice on this initiative. But the voters have spoken and the legislature should listen to that. So, let's say the initiative is not struck down in court. If it stands, then there's going to be a little bit of pain this legislative session and moving forward. And we are going to be recommending principles, guiding principles and recommendations for lawmakers to consider seriously as they move forward, which include things like prioritizing maintenance and preservation of our roads.
Sure.
And getting projects off of their deferral list or off the pause list that are funded exclusively by gas taxes.
Yeah, I feel bad for these people on limited incomes who have to pay hundreds of dollars for car tabs when they voted the opposite way. All right, great stuff as always, Maria. Always good to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Maria Frost at the Washington Policy Center. As always, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So you were working a side gig last night.
No, I was just hanging out.
Oh, you're hanging out inside.
An event.
Okay. So you still haven't seen the Jeopardy?
No, but I keep reading the updates because I don't believe in saving it.
I am so all in on this.
Right.
Our guy.
I know.
Came on the show. But Ken Jennings, who's from Seattle, I've never talked to him. I've never had him on the show.
Oh, he probably wouldn't come on. Have you seen his tweets?
Yeah. But you know what? I would talk to somebody who's
I know
for me
you
politically.
Would. I don't think he would.
I don't know. Do you think do you think he wouldn't talk to somebody who doesn't think like him politically? Now we need to invite him.
I have before, but I never got a response. But I'll check into it.
That could be.
I won't speak for him. He might come on, but he is he's very vocal.
But I like. Yeah. Oh, I know. He's out there. But James Holzhauer, who we did have on the show, he won last night. But
are you starting to think it's rigged? Like
no.
They're each going to win?
If the third guy, because he's gotten kind of crushed. Brad guy.
Yeah, he'll get his night, I'm sure. And remember how James kind of hinted at,
but
he rigged it last time to get out.
Well, no, I don't think so. But no, I do not think it's rigged because there was a huge game show scandal back in the late 50s. Are you aware of that? Rent the movie Game Show. It's wonderful. Okay. But it's about, there's a show called The $64,000 Question. And there was a guy who, like Holzhauer, got on and just kept winning and started winning more money than anybody ever had in the history of game shows, kind of in the nascent days of television. And it turns out they were feeding him the answers.
I don't mean rigged in that sense, but if they go in knowing who has areas of expertise and where,
they can manipulate the questions. Yes, they can manipulate the categories a bit. But no, it's actually a very highly regulated industry these days.
Right.
But last night, somebody was just reminding me this in the text messages. One of the answers was the Green Bay Packers, who the Seahawks are playing on Sunday, of course. And Holzhauer, as soon as they said Green Bay Packers, he went, boo, and did the thumbs down.
Oh, I'll reach out to him again.
I know. So we got.
I mean, he's
my guy. He's my guy.
We still want him to work for the Mariners next season, right?
I'd like him in town. Mm-hmm. On a much more serious note, the United States confirming now that intelligence sources believe that that plane taken off out of Iran headed for the Ukraine was shot down by missiles. And I'm trying to imagine the horror, the terror of people on board that plane. But Iran, it was a lot of Iranians and Canadians primarily on the plane.
With the video, I mean, it looks like they didn't have time to think about it.
I don't know about that, because the way these missiles work is they don't hit the target, but they explode right next to the target and shoot out shrapnel so that to increase the area of damage. And I saw one animation this morning that suggested that all of these pieces of shrapnel hit and penetrated.
Well, I hope they didn't.
The shell of the, oh my goodness. But shot down, United States military confirming, and intelligence sources that plane was shot down by Iran. Iran, the favorite country still of our leftist media and politicians and celebrities for some reason. Okay, Big Lead to 2 next.